Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We have got a great show today. We're going to be talking about mediumship with Hollis Duran, and her new book is Everything You Wanted to Know About the Afterlife, but Were Afraid to Ask. And boy, she gets down and dirty answering some of your most common questions, because you know what, there's never a stupid question. But you're going to enjoy this show, because she's going to share a ton of information, and then go out and get this book. It is so easy to read. It's a page turner, and you'll get a wealth of information. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of that BS that's been holding you back. But you guys know I always ask the question, are you really ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting edge information that enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I also authored 2 books. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com. And I invite you to follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook. My guest today, I'm so happy to have her with me, is Hollis Duran. Now, during the last 25 years, Hollis Duran's dedication to the healing work of mediumship has included events, workshops, all around the United States and all around the world. Hollister has been featured on many TV shows, including Tori and Dean, Home Sweet Hollywood, and America Now. Her radio appearances include Sirius XM's The Seance with John Edward, and she has been on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. She is number one top-rated medium out there working today. Now, her first book was I'm Not Dead, I'm Different. Kids in Spirit Teach Us About Living a Better Life on Earth, and she lives in L.A., and she has impossibly small Chihuahua Bodhi, and you can check her out at her website, and that is HollisDuran.com. Again, that's HollisDuran.com. And the book that we're talking about today is Everything You Wanted to Know About the Afterlife, explained by Hollis Duran, but Were Afraid to Ask. Welcome, Hollister.
Oh, thank you so much for this conversation today.
Oh, it is so great to have you. I mean, you've been around doing this work for quite some time. You've got a stellar reputation. What inspired you to write this second book?
What inspired me were the questions being asked after events or during breaks in between two parts of an event. People would ask some questions in the room in front of everybody, but the most interesting and heartfelt questions and those that often spoke to a personal fear, such as what happens when someone dies by suicide? Mm-hmm. Well, that was never a random question. That was always asked by someone who had lost someone due to suicide. So often questions were concerns, really. And so I thought, let me start answering all of these questions in large events. Have people write them down. I'll pull them out of a basket because everybody needs to hear these answers. So I put them all together in a book. It was kind of hard because I couldn't put every single question, but I put in the most popular questions, the most heartfelt, and the ones that have caused people greatest concern.
Well, you know, folks, she did this, but she did it in a very soft, lighthearted, uplifting way. There's no woo-woo in this at all. There's nothing scary. She doesn't bring, you know, doom and gloom to the conversation. Hollister brings enlightenment, and that's why I feel that you can truly trust the information that's coming through, because she's coming from a place, I'm going to say God-centered, heart-centered, spirit-centered, whatever it is that you consider source to be. She definitely embraces that. But Hollister, before we go on, this was one of the questions I was going to ask you later, but you already brought it up. Suicide, what happens? I mean, does the soul have more lessons to learn? Is it really like put up on a shelf and it has to stay frozen in time until it was the natural time to cross over? Talk to us about this.
Oh, well, thank goodness not. Limbo is a dance. It's not a place in the afterlife. So if you're going to worry about being stuck in limbo, dance it here, because it really doesn't exist where we exist in the afterlife. I work at the frequency of divine love. And in that space, people who pass with suicide for many different reasons, you know, there's no one size fits all. They are allowed to view their lives at the frequency of divine love. One of the most stunning interactions I had was with a mother who knocked on my office door. I opened up the door and she said, "My son committed suicide." Now, I don't like to know who people want to speak with. I don't want to know how people died before I sit down with the spirit. I like the spirit to really give the information. This lady, though, she came in, she wanted to be sure that I knew why she was there. And she said, "My priest told me that I will be separated from my son forever because he committed suicide."
Man.
And I said to her, "Why are you here?" And she looked at me, she said, "Well, I'm here because I want to hear what you have to say. I want a second opinion." And so as I said in my book, this mother couldn't conceive of a God that couldn't love her son as much as she did. And so she questioned her belief system to the core. And we were able to have a conversation. Her son showed up. And what I find with those who pass with suicide is they so want to start the conversation again, because suicide is a conversation ender. You know, we think, wow, they didn't give us a chance to see if we could help. You know, it's kind of like the period at the end of the sentence of their life and there's nothing left to say, and that's not true. That's why I find that people who have passed with suicide want to talk with me maybe even more than any other kind of spirit, because it seems like the conversation ended. And it also could be because I am a survivor of suicide myself. My beautiful cousin Tommy at the age of 19 killed Tommy killed himself. And so I know what it is to be in a family where you have a loss like that. It's extremely painful.
It is. And, you know, I've gone through something similar. It was my cousin Charles when he was 12 and I was 14. And, you know, he was 14. I was 16 because I was just driving. And he used to beg me to come get him because my aunt was like really like a bitch. She was horribly mean. And, you know, I just didn't feel like comfortable, and it was a great distance and this, that, and the other. So whatever, I didn't do it. And I still to this day, you know, and I'm in my late 60s, I still to this day have guilt around that. I could have done more. Maybe I could have saved him. And then when I sit back and look at it from a purely metaphysical standpoint, it's like, well, okay, this will is what was supposed to have happened, but I still wrestle. So how can the living come to peace with someone who has made their transition via suicide?
Well, there are a couple ways we can approach this. One of the major ways is to have connection with that spirit, either through a medium or through direct connection, you know, feeling that person with you. And I address both of those things in my work, teaching people to get connected themselves and stay connected, and also providing spirit messages. But generally, that guilt around I should have, I could have, I would have, I felt that with Tommy. And I was so brokenhearted. We were close. I thought, why didn't he tell me what was going on? Why didn't he call me? I could stop that. But the bottom line, what I hear from spirits in general around this is it's almost as though their lives and the possibilities of their lives begin to narrow to the point where they do not see any other option. And if they do not want to be dissuaded, they will not reach out. If they want to end their lives, they will do it.
Okay, so the if person
they
running
do
around.
Not okay. really, right, if there's wiggle room, they'll call or they'll, you know.
Okay.
But if they're done, they will go and not contact you.
Mm-hmm.
On this side. They will from the other side, most certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But not from this side.
Okay, so what if you don't want contact with folks on the other side? I mean, not that, you know, you didn't like them or anything, but, you know, you just want to focus on what's here. Is that a possibility even, or is there always some sort of contact even if you're not aware of it?
Well, that's what I would say. Even if you're not aware of it, even people who do not believe in spirit communication or people who don't even believe in life after death, agnostics, atheists, whatever whatever camp you put yourself in, it doesn't matter. We all have guides, and those guides don't need us to know who they are in order for them to do their job, which is to walk us through and escort us through this life. So we don't have to know we have a spirit posse in order for them to be doing their job. It's really a choice whether this is the direction you want to go and invite and have a real interactive relationship with your spirits. But, you know, everybody's got a spirit posse, whether they know it or whether they even like it or not.
But can you send them away if you don't want them around and then call them when you want them?
It doesn't work necessarily quite that way. But the spirits will key into things that you like that they were very good at or wanted to be better at. Say you are a very loyal person, but you had a father that was absolutely disloyal, left the family, couldn't be there for you. It's very interesting how these fathers will show up and become the fathers we may have always wanted them to be, able to be present, able to guide. And so relationships can change. So that's what I would say. If you don't want a spirit with you, it's often because there was a break or challenge in the relationship here. But the good news is that when we pass, we change. So nothing is static. Nothing remains the same. As we change, they change. As they change, we change. It's kind of, you know, that way. So this is really the good news, is that we can have a relationship with people that is better than the relationship we had here on Earth. When we think of someone with their name, we might as well have a megaphone shouting up to heaven, and they will receive that message. But they're not standing and watching us do the dishes unless we are washing their dishes, you know, unless there's like inherited dishes. You know, and there's a link to them. So spirits work in a network situation. So it's almost like a phone network or anything, you know, else. You can send a group text, oh, I'm having a birthday, or it's my birthday next week. Oh, Mom, I miss you. And then you think about your aunt, and then you think about your grandmother. And before you know it, you have a huge birthday party. You've just sent out a whole bunch of invites to spirits. And then you could go days without feeling spirits with you, and that's okay too, because perhaps there hasn't been a connection to the network in a way that would draw them and solidify their energy in your life.
Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Hollis Duran. She's a medium. Her book, Everything You Wanted to Know About the Afterlife, But We're Afraid to Ask, and you can check her out at her website, and that's hollisterran.com. In case you need spelling, it's HollisterRand.com. Hollister, question for you. Now, you talk about in your book that thought is a creation in the afterlife. Just like, isn't thought creation here? So how is it different, or is it different in the afterlife?
Well, the way it is different is we live in a physical, more dense world. So mm-hmm. when we think of something or conceive of something, we are creating, but then there are physical steps we have to go through. So let's say you conceive of the perfect house that you want to live in. Mm-hmm. You may be led and you may find the house, but then you're earning the money to buy the house. Or if you decide to build the house, you hire a builder. You know, so there is lag time. We work in space and time here on the earth plane. Uh-huh. So there's thought, and then there's the time it takes to bring that thought to fruition. Uh-huh. In the afterlife, it's a world of thought, but it's instantaneous. So you think about the perfect house, boom, it's there. So the irony is that in the afterlife, you don't need a house. It's not like, you know, the universe is going to rain on you in the uh-huh. afterlife. Uh-huh. But with creativity, the universe and the afterlife, everything is rejuvenating all the time. So thought is instant in the afterlife. And where I have seen this show up in spirit communication is, for instance, I was speaking with a mother whose son had passed. And I said to her, oh, your son is mentioning a memorial bench. He loves it. He loves the design. He thinks people will enjoy sitting on it and looking at the flowers. Uh-huh. Well, she looked a bit shocked at me. And then she said, well, we were planning on making a memorial bench in a botanical garden for my son, but we haven't done it yet. We just got the blueprints. And I said, well, to his mind, he's keying into the thought. And to his way of thinking, it is already done. So in spirit speak, you know how we say it's the thought that counts here? Well, with mm-hmm. spirits, it truly is the thought that counts. You don't even have to do the thing in order for them to understand the love that is behind your thought, which may lead to an action.
Wow. I love how you break it down to the very granular level, and it just, you know, it flows. It just makes sense. Now, you had mentioned earlier that, you know, if spirits can manifest in different ways. I live in the town that I live in. There is a section of the town that is like Antique Row. Okay. And every time I go to that section of town, which is actually not that often, I tend to bring something back with me, even though the protection and this and that, I mean, everything is done. So talk to us about antiques, because I won't buy anything and put it in my house. So talk to us about antiques and spirits.
Yes, I let people know, and my students as well, that it's really a wise thing to be careful what you bring into your house. From uh-huh. masks of entities, like when you travel to different countries, it's like, oh, look at that interesting carved figure. Well, you don't know the centuries of belief that are behind that uh-huh. you are then bringing into your house. And I had a sculpture that I bought in a foreign country, and that thing would not stay on the shelf. It was jumping. It was leaping. I was crashing in the middle of the night. And, you know, finally, that was the end of it. I said, okay, no more. You are not allowed in my space. I was shopping for furniture in Antique Row. In Orange County, and I just was going through antique store after antique store after antique store, and I was with a group of friends, walked out of one store and fell flat on my face on the sidewalk.
Oh, wow.
I mean, literally just went boom, just crashed, and I realized, oh my gosh, the energy on all of these objects suddenly became too much. Now, I do grounding, I do protection, I do all of that, but I did used to also do ghost busting. Uh-huh. So I understand that there are a couple of things going on. Not always do antique stores have ghosts in them, but energy, objects hold energy of people who use them for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the easiest thing to pick up energy on, residual energy of someone's life, is jewelry. It tends to hold vibration very, you know, it tends to capture it pretty quickly. But there are people who have worn watches for years, and then they end up in these pawn shops or antique stores or vintage places. And then the next person puts it on, all of those years of energy and a link to the person in spirit who may or may not come and visit you and go, oh, yeah, I like that lady who just bought my watch. She'll enjoy it. And I remember I was at a yard sale and this whole house of furniture, and it was this Victorian furniture. It was so gorgeous. And I walked in and darned if I didn't see the lady who owned it. She had died in her 90s in the house.
Uh-huh.
And I heard her say, I want this to go to a family. I want all of my things, all of my furniture to go to a family who will love it and enjoy it. And I said, okay. So I drove away and started thinking and asking that a family would come that would love this lady's things. At the end of the day, I drove up, walked into the house, and out in the back, down the driveway, was a family of four, mother, father, son, daughter, packing up their truck with this lady's furniture. And the mother just kept saying how beautiful it was, how much she loved it. She'd never seen anything like it. And I thought, well, there you go. So spirits aren't necessarily attached to things, but when we use things here on the earth plane, there are energy imprints on those things. And so I always do a cleansing with things. I thank the person for their love of this object, and I release the energy around it before I bring it into my house and rededicate it. Now, this is important because vintage is really in. Everybody's going vintage. People are buying used clothes, used jewelry, used everything. And that's bound to become even more of a necessity as we move through these difficult times. So it's good to have that in your toolbox. The idea of thanking, being very grateful to the person who owned it, and releasing any energy or attachment or network that may be associated with the objects. I hope that helps. Does that explain it?
It explains it very clear. Thank you very much for that.
All right, good.
You know, we're recording this during a time of COVID-19. There are so many people that have chosen to leave Earth at this time. Could you give us some insight? Because there's so many people dying and there's so many families that feel, you know, disrupted, distraught.
Well, the first thing that I would say is that no one dies alone. And that is a very, very important thing to know, because that's what we keep hearing. You know, people are found dead in their apartments in New York, for instance, and they've died on the kitchen floor or who knows where within their apartments. And if people are dying in ICUs or, you know, with healthcare workers, their families aren't allowed to see them. If people are dying in nursing homes, their loved ones can't be with them. So there is this idea that we hold here on this earth plane that our loved one has died alone, that they were unsupported. And so the first thing I have to say, that is not the case. Please know that there are first responders in spirit as much as there are first responders here, and that loved ones in spirit will show up for the people who are dying. And it reminds me of a story in the book. There was a reading I gave to a lady, her husband had died, and he mentioned that his mother had been waiting for him, had been standing by his bed, in the corner of the room, rather, for days, and just had been staying there. And the wife said to me, you know, he wouldn't take his eyes off the corner of a room. And, you know, he, no matter what, we would walk in, we'd talk to him, and he'd still be staring at that space in the room. And she said, I am so delighted that it was his mother. We were asking that she would be there for him, that she would welcome him. So with all of this sudden leaving, because sometimes it's 2 to 3 weeks from the start of the illness to the time the person dies, you know, there's really, it's really very, very quick. It's very hard for people to adjust to that. But no matter how quickly someone passes, their spirits are present for them. So let me first let everybody know that everyone who passes is okay, no matter how fast this happens, and they are not alone. Uh-huh. And now we can talk about the idea of choice with passing. Our loved ones who die don't choose necessarily to leave us. Even those who pass with suicide, rarely have I heard someone who's passed with suicide say, "I did it because I didn't want to be with my mother anymore." No, it's uh-huh. usually something completely different. So uh-huh. when people pass, it's really not a slap in the face to people left behind. But there can be soul contracts. And I'll give you an example. There was a father who was diagnosed with cancer. And I spoke with him from spirit. I had a family group meeting. And he showed up, hale and hearty. I mean, you know, great uh-huh. guy. He's in spirit. He's barbecuing, steaks on the grill. You know, I mean, uh-huh. I'm like, wow, this guy is dead. I can't even believe it. You know, he looks great. Uh-huh. So, you know, and he was diagnosed with cancer. That night, he had a meeting with his family, his wife and his daughters, and he said, "I'm not going to die from cancer." And they were so thrilled. They thought, he's going to beat it. He's going to beat it. He's not going to die from cancer. He's going to beat it. The next morning, he got up to go to the bathroom and dropped dead of a heart attack on the bathroom floor.
Okay.
And his family was so distraught. How could this be? Well, as he explained to me from spirit, he had watched his mother, both his mother and his father, die with cancer. And it was a painful, slow, and difficult passing. And he didn't want to put his family through that. He made the decision that he was not going to die that way. Now, I don't think he did not say to me, "So, therefore, I decided I would die of a heart attack." That was not, but you understand, that was
yes.
not the choice.
Right.
So he didn't say, he just said, "I'm not going to go with cancer." But he didn't say the next day, "I'm going to die of a heart attack." But when we make certain choices, circumstances in our lives are allowed to move us forward in the direction we choose. So he wanted to spare his family. And in that way, he spared them one kind of death, but they were shocked by another. So the bottom line is, when our loved ones die, it is hard, no matter how it happens. It is difficult. And that's one of the reasons why I love doing my work, because my work isn't about death. It's about life. It's about reconnection. And, you know, I think maybe that's why my book has a light tone, because the spirits are really very funny. The spirits are funny. They have a light approach. You know, it really isn't my approach. It's their approach. And at the frequency of divine love, the joy and connection is just fabulous. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, folks, you have to get this book. I rarely say you have to go out and get a book, okay? But this is one that is going to be important for you, especially if you're dealing with someone passing from COVID-19, because it's going to give you so much insight as to what's going on the other side that you will become at peace. You will become at ease. Now, I'm not saying everybody wants to line up and make a transition right now, but this book will give you the comfort that you're looking for. And it's coming from, as Hollister says, a frequency of divine love, and that is evident within her book from the first page to the very last. Hollister, what is a twofold question? What is the difference between spirits and ghosts, and what are the signs that a spirit is actually present with us?
All right, I will answer those two questions, but what you just said brought up something else in my mind, which is, okay. You know, we look at this COVID-19 as some sort of a freaky thing that dropped into the earth. Nobody knew about this. Well, I was reading my book, so the book is also available, you know, audio with me uh-huh. reading it. And uh-huh. Simon & Schuster said, you know, "Would you be able to read the book?" And I said, "Oh, sure." And then all of the recording studios shut down. So I recorded the book on equipment set up in my closet. which is like the, you know, we're all innovating, right?
Uh-huh.
But there I was by myself reading this book that I had written, you know, a year ago, 18 months ago. And I got to the question, which is, what's the difference between angels and guides?
Uh-huh.
And one of the lines toward the end of the answer says, I am seeing angels with stunning frequency. This could be because of a threat to life on our planet. Now, I got to that line, and I stopped, and I burst into tears in my closet, all alone, you know, with my clothes around me. And, you know, the poor producer, he probably got, I said, I'm sorry, I'm blubbering. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't even remember writing this. But what that showed me there in that moment is that spirit was present with us even before this was going to happen. So even though things seem happenstance, tragic, difficult, know that the spirits have been supporting us right from the beginning. Now that leads me to ghosts and spirits. You know, I used to be a ghostbuster. I don't do that anymore because for me, ghosts are spirits with a bad attitude. And I am just not willing to put up with bad attitudes, with people who just want to repeat their story over and over and over again, who are living in grievance and anger and disappointment and aren't willing to let those, that BS go, that belief system, that story about their life and how they always got the short end of the stick. I like working with loved ones in spirit, those who are transformed and can help us to transform. So I'm interested in love, joy, peace, and enlightenment, nothing short of that. So that's kind of the short answer about the ghosts and spirits. And I think in the book, it's like a 4-page answer. You know, it's not just a short answer. So, yeah, hopefully that will give people some understanding.
I think it will. Now, you've kind of alluded to it a couple of times, so, you know, you gotta share. You stopped doing the clearings and the ghost busting and everything, and it was something about the word rats on your thigh. Can you talk to us about that?
Oh, yes. Well, yes, there was a haunted house. Somebody was doing some remodeling, I think it was, and if I'm remembering, it might have been in Beverly Hills. I'm not sure exactly where the location was, but somewhere in Los Angeles. And I and a couple of other people, another medium and, you know, a healer, and we'd go to this house. And, you know, and no matter what we did, you know, something would happen. And then I realized, okay, it's the people who are owning the house. They have stuff that they're not willing to let go of. And it's bringing in all of these manifestations. Well, one day I walked out, got in the car, looked down, and rats had been written on my thigh, like red welts. And I thought, that's it. I'm done. You know, this is workplace harassment. I am not going to put up with this anymore. This is not where I can bring the greatest healing because this situation doesn't want to be healed. And I learned very quickly to align myself with the highest frequencies of the universe, love, joy, and peace. And that is the place of transformation. And so as soon as I started to align myself there, then I was working with healing. And for me, that was really exciting. And that's what I've been doing for the last 25 years or so.
Okay. Now, in your book, you talk about working with people who are trans in spirit. You know, I'm in California. You're in California. It doesn't really make much difference to us how people present themselves, but I guess in some parts of the country, it still does. Is there any, and I'm thinking no, but is there any type of stigma or anything once someone who has lived a life outside of heterosexuality makes their transition that they have to atone for?
Oh, fortunately not. Where I've had a number of experiences, which in some ways have been a little puzzling to me, because I'm reporting what I see, even if the person who's the sitter will refute that. So there was a woman who came to, I think it was a group event, and I was seeing a girl with her, a daughter. And she said, no, I don't have a daughter. oh, well, gee, you know, I'm seeing a female here who's saying daughter to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then this female in spirit gave me the name. I think it was Peter or something like that. I can't remember exactly. And the woman said, yes, I had a son named Peter. I said, okay. Well, it turns out the son named Peter became the girl, the daughter. And we were able to have a conversation because what happened in that moment was Peter's mother understood that he hadn't forgotten who he was when he was born to her.
Uh-huh.
That he was both son and transitioned to be daughter. And there was a huge healing in that family. And the mother was finally able to let go of, you know, this feeling that she had failed as a mother. That something that, you know, she had caused this problem for her beloved son. And once that was put to rest, it was just beautiful.
Okay. Well, could you share with us your favorite story about how spirits intervene on our behalf?
Well, spirits can never interfere. They may intervene, but they don't interfere with our free will. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Yes. So we are self-determining to a large part here on this earth plane by our choices, our vows, and things like that. So the spirits may very well bring people into our lives who would speak the words that they would like us to hear. Whether this be an intervention by a stranger, whether this be they're in the car with you and you just have the sense to pull over and then all of a sudden there's an accident and instead of being in the accident, you're a helper. One of the most interesting interventions was I was speaking with a young girl in spirit who had hit some gravel on a road, gone off the road, died by the side of her car. And interestingly enough, there was a woman who was with her at the time, and then this woman disappeared. Well, it turns out it was a spirit Samaritan. And the paramedics saw this person, and the police saw this person, and they wanted to get her statement, but then she disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And this mother was so delighted to know that her daughter wasn't lying by the side of the road dying on her own. So in that sense, there was an intervention of comfort. So there are many different ways that spirits interact with us, move us along our path, possibly warn us some ways that we're going, but are present, not interfering, but intervening.
Okay. Well, you know, Hollister, you have a lot of information on your website, hollisterrand.com. How can people connect with you? Are you still doing the gatherings where people can either work with you independently or in groups?
Well, unfortunately, all of the public events around the book have been canceled, the in-person public events, book signings and things like that, because of the virus. However, I've moved a lot of these events online. So I have, if you buy a book, you can get into one of these events for free, and I'll send you a book plate so you can stick it in your book when it arrives. I have spirit circles online. Zoom has become the spirit's best friend because we Zoom and do video conference connections. It's delightful. I didn't know how large gallery-style events were going to work on Zoom. I thought, oh, my goodness, how is this going to work? Well, I've done a number of them now, and it works really well how the spirits move me through a group, almost like a chessboard or like I'm playing bingo. It's really interesting, pretty much like they do when I'm in person, but now it's just on a flat screen. It's really amazing. So the spirits are ramping up their connection, and I'm scrambling to keep up. So everybody can reach me through the website, hollisterrand.com. I have a free email newsletter, which have, you know, every month tips and tricks to sort of get connected and stay connected. I have a radio show, which people can listen to for free. I have inexpensive classes online for people. And there are many different ways to access readings, either private readings, group readings, You know, all of that's on my website, or you can reach me at HollisterRent@gmail.com.
Okay, so you've got it all. So, Hollister, one last thing. Could you just drop one little pearl of wisdom for our audience today?
In the middle of this chaos, sit quietly for a moment and thank the spirits for being there. Feel yourself anchored to the earth, because you and your body are the address and the spirits know where to visit you. You don't have to find them. They are with you.
All right, very well said. So thank you to Hollister for being my guest today and for the audience for hanging in here with us as we collectively get over it. I truly appreciate your time and attention. If you are looking to connect with a loved one that's crossed over, do contact Hollister. She's authentic. She's genuine. She's real. Okay, I can't say that about a lot of people, but she definitely walks her talk, and your time will not be wasted, not at all. And I do want you to remember that the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of being in love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Agape.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.